Welcome to the Calm Nights, Strong Days podcast. With over 30 years in the health and wellness industry, I've realized there's no one-size-fits-all solution for sleep and stress resilience. What affects one person's sleep and ability to handle stress is different for each of us. The stage of life you're in, work and home stressors, and more all affect how your body handles stress and your quality of life. Join me as we explore a variety of tools, strategies, and solutions I've employed with clients over the years in solo episodes, as well as insightful interviews and experts. Together, we'll unravel more pieces of the puzzle, empowering you on your journey to calm nights and strong days. So let's dive into today's episode. Welcome to the Calm Nights, Strong Days podcast. I am your host, Andy Clark. I'm so excited to have you here today. This podcast in itself has been an evolution, and it's been fascinating going through this journey. And what I have found recently is that friends who are listening, clients who are listening, have been telling me how the information that I've been talking about with my son, giving examples of kids and neurodiversities and how they have big emotions, how that has helped them understand their child a little bit better. And so I thought that I would start doing a little bit more on helping you understand kids with big emotions. Because for any of you that are listening, you'll know that when I'm saying a kid with big emotions, that these are kids that the regular ways of raising a child don't work with them, and it actually escalates things, and that there's more to these children than most people actually understand and realize. And through understanding that, it's fascinating because so many of my clients or colleagues, friends are saying that they're also noticing some of these traits in themselves as I'm speaking about things. So my hope is that in talking more about kids with big emotions, that it will help not only you, which this podcast has been all about you, and I still want it to help you, but in understanding your kids, it can help have a better relationship with your kids. And honestly, if you have a kid with big emotions, the stress that is happening in your house on a daily basis from that alone, on top of all the other stressors, relationships, finances, life, our own issues and struggles, it really can add a whole other level to everything that is happening in your house. So my hope with adding a little bit about kids with big emotions, adding it to where I'm talking about the kids and the parents, my hope is that by the end of listening to this, not just this episode, but more episodes coming, that it will help you even more to another level. And I'm so excited about that. Now, I do understand that not everybody that is listening to this podcast has kids and is not at that stage. And I absolutely understand that. And this may not be the direction that you would like. And I completely respect that. But I am so excited for those of you who do have kids, who want to have kids and may not have them yet, for you to really learn a lot of the information that we're going to be diving in this episode and future episodes. So even if you don't have kids, this one's definitely going to help you. So what I want to dive into today is really diving into why kids struggle to handle emotions, big emotions, certain kids. And this comes from when I was actually saying this to a parent, because there was a situation that happened at Pokemon where a child was struggling with losing and had an outburst. And I looked at one of the other parents and I said, before I had kids, and even after my first child, I thought that all you do is you give a child guidance. You help them understand right from wrong. You help them understand what is respectful, what is disrespectful, and what behavior is expected of them. And they learned how to react that way. And I'm like, I so would have judged that child and their reaction had this been before I had my child. I would have thought, what are these parents doing? Like, do they not know how to handle this child? I would have thought, oh my gosh, how disrespectful. When in fact, I knew this child. It was my child. And I'm sitting there and I was actually so proud of him that the big emotions that came from losing happened only after the second game. After his first game, the mom that I was speaking with, my son was playing her daughter. Her daughter is good. She is a highly ranked Canadian player. She's actually a highly ranked world level player. She's going to worlds. This girl is hard to beat. She's very, very good. The thing is that because the way her brain works and because the way my son's brain works, they had a clashing about 3-4 months ago where her brain doesn't necessarily filter out her thoughts. Now, it's not saying at all that her thoughts or ideas or things that she's saying were wrong. They were absolutely, completely factual what she was saying. They had sat down to play one another once and she looked at him and looked at his deck, and the way Pokemon works is there's always percentages. There's a percentage about, like, so if you're playing, let's just, for those of you who don't know Pokemon, let's just even say Pokemon deck, which is not one of the strong decks. People don't play it, but let's just say for ease sake, a Pokemon deck. That Pokemon deck has a certain percentage of being able to win and beat certain decks, certain other Pokemon, and a certain percentage of where it gets beat. So there's always strong ones and weak ones. And so my son was playing a weakness to this girl's deck. And she said, my deck is stronger than yours. You know, the odds are I'm going to beat you. Why don't you concede? It wasn't snotty. It was absolute fact. This girl is also good too, that even if he had a deck that was strong compared to hers, the odds were he wasn't going to win. But it's one of these things where, as we learn with all of these different kids, of which the neurodiverse kids is, and I would have taken offense to that hugely years ago before I understood all of this. But the more that I got to learn this girl, I'm like, oh, she is like neurodiverse. She's absolutely amazing. And she has not learned how to regulate having these conversations in ways and understanding that that might hurt people's feelings. And my son has some of that, but not to the degree of hers. He has other struggles that work with. So it was just fascinating where I'm looking at this situation and I'm thinking, I don't fault this girl. I don't fault my son, but now my son plays her. His stress level is up through the roof because he has really struggled with his emotions. And playing her, that the mom and I, while they were playing the first game, were like holding our breaths, just hoping that he kept his cool. And her mom was saying, I just hope that she doesn't say anything, right? We're sitting beside each other. We talk all the time. We're in a WhatsApp group together. Like, I love the mom. I love the girl. And when they're not playing Pokemon, these kids get along really well. It's fascinating. But the emotions, it's about these emotions. And so he kept his cool. But then he was playing as actually a really good friend of his who he hangs out with all the time. He was playing his friend after, and he lost. His friend's been getting coaching and has really been doing really well and excelling. And he beat him. And my son lost it. But he didn't lose it as extreme as he would have lost it in the past. And I was so proud of him in that moment. He threw his cards on the ground, got really upset. I was so proud. And the mom and I together, we were both sitting there thinking that we were so proud of him that he made it further than he would have made it. Normally, he wouldn't have even made it through a game with her daughter. So this was huge. And when we're thinking of these big emotions, it's so important to understand why these big emotions happened, why these outbursts. In the past, he would have yelled. He would have gotten really mad. He may have yelled at the other player, at school, before I had to take him out, he would hit sometimes. Here, I just need to go shut my door. My cat came in the room and I had to shut my door so that I have a little privacy here. So it's just fascinating how when you start understanding their stress systems, you start understanding why these big emotions happen, that it really changes how you view it. It changes how you view and handle when a child has these big emotions. In the past, I would have completely yelled at him. And I did at the beginning, like years ago when he started playing. I would have yelled at him. I would have got mad. I would have told him that that was just absolutely horrible. And this time I went up to him and I'm so proud of you. And he came up to me after. He's like, I need to leave now. I'm like, okay, let's go. And as soon as we got outside, I told him how proud I was of him. We packed up, we left, the parents know. It was just amazing. And I would not have handled that at all the same way when I didn't understand his stress system. I didn't understand why this was happening. When I didn't understand, you know, how I needed to react in order to support him at his best. So, and that's the thing, is when you do change the way that you handle these situations and you start really understanding their stress response, then you really start, then what happens is they start lasting further and further before the big emotions come in. Now, there are a lot of steps to this to get them to the point in how you handle a situation and what steps you take. For this episode today, what I want to be diving into is the stress response so that you understand that, because that is the meat of everything. It does not matter what the stressor is. It doesn't matter if it's stressing over what somebody has said. It doesn't matter if it's stressing over a situation that's happened. It doesn't matter if it is, like, whatever the stress is, there are so many different stressors out there, but what it doesn't matter. As soon as your brain perceives a stress, and I'm saying perceives a stress, so that's where this is total example of our kids that have big emotions, is you'll see the majority of the kids won't even react to something around them. But when a child has big emotions, they perceive that stress. We get the anxiety. We get anxiety kicks in, or anger or frustration. They might get overwhelmed. They may not be able to think. They may freeze. And that is when their nervous system is completely, is taxed, when they're perceiving a stress. As soon as you perceive a stress, so we think of this as adults too, you might see where one adult is really anxious about going into something. And that is because their brain is perceiving that that situation is stressful for them, whereas somebody else is handling it perfectly fine. So that's the first thing to understand about these big emotions that these kids have, is that their brain has perceived some sort of a stress. They may not even know what the stress is. It could be that they breathed in synthetic fragrances. My son and I are, when we breathe in synthetic fragrances, like instantly you'll see us change. I'll start yelling at my husband. My son will get mad. He'll kick. It's crazy. So, and that's not everybody. And that's where I'm saying we have to understand that the reaction, when they're having this reaction, it's not that these kids want to even be having this reaction most of the time. My son does not want to be having a tantrum at Pokemon. It's embarrassing. It truly is for him. And he has to go back and face those friends again, right? He doesn't want to be doing that, but his stress system has perceived a threat. And when it's perceiving a threat, then your stress system kicks in, your stress nerve kicks in. And when that stress nerve kicks in, it kicks in all of your stress response, that fight or freeze. And it really depends on how taxed your stress system is. So I have used this analogy. This is how I use the analogy of my son in school. And it was a great one. I found it. Somebody had passed it along on Facebook at one point. So you may have seen this analogy out there, but it's about a Coke bottle. So imagine you have a Coke bottle and your child goes to school in the morning and there might be loud noises. It might be a little bit loud and overwhelming for them if they are a child that is sensitive to noises. And you think that's a little shake of that Coke bottle. And then they go to do their work and there might be, they might not have the right pencil that feels right for them. They may be somebody that doesn't deal well with change, isn't as adaptable, and that Coke bottle gets shook. They may be doing really well in an assignment. And the thing is that the teacher thinks that they're doing absolutely great, but that child inside may be thinking that they made a mistake somewhere or it wasn't good enough because there's that perfectionism and that Coke bottle shakes. And then they're getting to, you know, they're starting to get hungry, but lunchtime hasn't happened yet. So they're starting to get the stress of that hunger, shakes the Coke bottle. And then they're playing with somebody and somebody doesn't want to share with them. That Coke bottle shakes. And they're keeping it together. They're keeping it together, but they're getting more and more stressed inside. And the teacher doesn't necessarily see all of these things or understand the way that these stressors are hitting this child. This child may be very sensitive to what people say. That's something that may not hurt somebody's feelings, may be hurting theirs. This child may be very, very observant and be able to see so much around them. If we think of autism, the one reason that autistic kids don't look you in the face or in the eyes, especially when they first see you, is that an autistic child is often taking in so much information. It is overwhelming how much they take in visually, that to take in the sound of your voice and everything that's happening, your movements, and to be looking at your face, your facial movements, every little spot and dot and scar and acne and anything, the way your hair is on the face can get so overwhelming and overstimulating for them. So all of these things to people that are, we call them more atypical people, they don't notice all of these things. But when you're a child that is hypersensitive, that sees a lot, that takes in a lot, that feels a lot, your Coke bottle shakes so much more during your day, so much more during your day. And that's why often when kids get home from school, their Coke bottle, it's like they almost take that cap off. They're like, okay, I'm home. I'm going to relieve some pressure out of this bottle. And they undo that cap and it explodes. So that's why it explodes on you at home too, because you're their safe space. You're their safe one. So quite often too, when they are exploding in your home, it's because you are their safe space. And they know that they can finally just let it all out. The other thing as well, is like, I know for my son, I was getting calls 2-3 times a week to come get him because his Coke bottle exploded at school. And he couldn't handle, could not handle 5 days at school. He couldn't handle like 2 days in a row at school because the sounds, like my son's memory processing is through the roof. The amount that he takes in is through the roof. But he doesn't have the emotional and intellectual intelligence to take in all of that. And it's so overwhelming. He doesn't have the tools to be able to help him reset. So auditorily and visually, what he takes in a day is unbelievable. He was spent. He was also covering up the fact that he's so smart. The math that he could do, like there was his teacher in grade 3 had said, like, he's so smart. Like he's smarter than me. I don't even know what to do with him half the time. But that being said, he was hiding the fact that he couldn't write out the answers to math questions. So grade 3 tested grade 8 level math, but he can't write out the answers by hand. Things that are written out by hand, he can write words for dictation, college level words, but he can't write more than a sentence with punctuation and grammar by hand. And that's a brain to hand connection thing. And he was hiding that and masking that throughout his day as well. That I was getting so many calls that I eventually started taking him out Tuesdays and Thursdays and trying to figure out what to do. And in those days, I saw that when he had quiet, when he was just left alone, too quiet to just reset his nervous system. He was so much better. And taking him out Tuesdays and Thursdays helped so much, but I would still sometimes get calls on Fridays to come pick him up that I eventually just took him out of school. And it took him months and months and months in order for his nervous system to stop being so stimulated. There were times where at the start for a couple of months where I couldn't even go into the kitchen when we have an open concept kitchen and dining room. I could not even go into the kitchen without, he'd be like, "Mommy, that's too much noise." He'd have headphones on, but nothing in the headphones. It was just filtering out sound. And even with noise canceling headphones, he can still hear things outside. It's just more muffled. And it took him so long for his nervous system to stop living in that danger zone, to stop living in the fact of thinking that, just of being so overly stimulated for so long with everything that was happening in school, just all the sounds, all the noises, all the people, all the things, all the change, that is, he just couldn't handle it. So your child might be very different, right? Your child might be, the stress triggers for them might be very, very different, and we'll be going through a lot of the different stress triggers. The thing is that at the base of all of this, it is the same when it comes to their nervous system. Quite often when a child is exploding, when they have these big emotions, it's embarrassing for them when they get to a larger age. But they don't actually want to be that way or want to do it. It's not an issue of them being defiant often. It's not an issue of them not wanting to listen, not wanting to do. They can't. They can't. So it really is. It's hard not to yell at them. And there are times where I've gotten to the point where I've had to yell. I know, a couple of weeks ago, I remember going into my son's room and I'm like, "Okay, I have tried everything that I know to do to help you right now. And I'm so frustrated. And I don't know what else to do, that I'm going to yell right now. And I'm so sorry." Like, this is exactly how I talked to him. I'm like, "I'm so sorry I'm going to yell at you right now, but I need to, and I don't know what else to do." And it was interesting because after I did yell at him, not like screaming and yelling, but like I got really upset, he actually snapped out of it. And as we're learning with the nervous system, sometimes change of state will completely snap somebody out of it. But if you're always yelling at them, then that's the same state, same reaction all the time. Their nervous system will not react to that. But there are times where yelling at him is what has helped, but those are far and few between. Do I yell at him and lose my cool without the apologies and all of that at times? Absolutely. I do. When I'm having a tough day, when I'm stressed, I have big emotions with a short tolerance, short strain. Absolutely, I do. I'm not perfect in any of this. The thing that I will say in coming out of this is understanding these kids. As soon as I see kids with big emotions, when I see kids having these outbursts, I know there's a lot more to it than them solely not listening to a parent, or maybe a parent has never taught them how to be respectful and how to obey, or how to behave and how to, you know, stay calm and all of these things, right? Like, just a lot of these tools that do work for my oldest son definitely do not work for my youngest son. And it's important for you to know that if you feel like you've tried everything and you have, like me, thought that, you know, you tell them what to do, you discipline them, it's this or that, and they're still doing it all the time or some of the time, quite often there's an underlying reason. And it's that their nervous system, though, is perceiving some sort of a threat. And then it's time to go and dive into that big puzzle and figure out where in the heck is the threat coming from. And it's usually multiple sources and trying to figure all that out, which is what I'm here to help you with. So hopefully this has helped you with a big base on kids with big emotions. And I'm so grateful that you have listened to this. This podcast really is important because I don't want other parents to struggle like I did. I don't want kids to struggle like I did. And like my son is, or well, he's not struggling as much. Your kid is struggling too. I want to be able to help so that our kids are not struggling as much, so that our kids are going to make it in the world, because our kids are the ones that are going to change the world. So hopefully from this episode and episodes that are coming are going to help prepare for your kids' outbursts, for your emotions. And what you're going to learn in this podcast will hopefully bring you closer to your kids and also help yourself with your stress system, which is what the base of this has been. But if we can do it through helping your kids as well, then, oh man, let's do it. Let's do it. Now, I do understand that not everybody listening to this will be, you know, may not have kids. This may not be resonating with you. And I completely understand that. But I do know for a fact that this is resonating with quite a few of you. And I'm just excited. So keep listening, ask questions. I am here for you. And I am so excited to go on this journey with you.
Wait. Before you go, if you found this podcast valuable, please consider liking and subscribing. Your support helps others discover these insights too. And if you're ready to transform your sleep and stress management and would like to see if we are a good fit with one another, let's chat. The link to my calendar is in the show notes below. Let's connect and start your journey to calm nights and strong days now. Until next time, sleep peacefully and stay resilient.